Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. See, these are things that belong to us. We know that God heals. We know it's His will. So those are the things that are revealed that belong to us. Amen. Amen. The things that are revealed belong to us. Yes. And we hold on to those. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5, and we'll start reading in verse number 12. And it happened when he, and this is an account that we read last week. We read it out of Matthew's gospel, I believe. We'll read it out of Luke's gospel and kind of tie in from last week and continue on here. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go show yourselves to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the testimonies that we've heard. We thank you, Lord, that you've opened our hearts, Lord, through the worship. And I just thank you, Lord, that you confirm this word today in the name of Jesus. I thank you that your word is medicine to all our flesh. And for those that are here that need healing, Father, I thank you that today is their day. Amen. I thank you that today is the day their healing begins. We declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right. So notice here, this man, he didn't have a touch of leprosy. It says there was a man that was full of leprosy. He was full of leprosy. He didn't have a touch of it. He was full of it. This leprosy was at an advanced stage. But somehow he believed that Jesus could heal him if he was willing. He came and he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He knew that he could, but he wasn't sure if he was willing or not. So he had to find out. He had to be convinced. He had to discover if he was willing. So faith rests on two things. Faith rests on being convinced that God is able, and faith rests on being convinced that God is willing. Amen. If you know that God is able, and if you know that He is willing, then you've got grounds for faith. Amen. To receive your healing. Amen. To receive your miracle. Amen. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So Jesus, when He asked him the question, Jesus not only answered him, but He demonstrated. It says that He put out His hand and He touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. So Jesus demonstrated that healing was His will. Jesus demonstrated that He wanted this man well and this man could be cured from this advanced stage of leprosy. He demonstrated it by touching, by reaching out His hand, and He also released words. He said, I am willing, be cleansed. Did you know that words release healing? Amen. We need to understand that today. Words, everybody say that. Say, words release healing. Say, I release healing through my words. In Proverbs, it says the tongue of the wise promotes health. The tongue of the wise brings healing. Praise God. And so words release healing. Jesus said this to a woman who was paralyzed and bent over. He said, woman, you are loose from your infirmity. And then He laid His hands on her, and she was made straight. But it was important that He declare those words. He said, I've come. In Luke chapter 4, He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to proclaim, to preach the gospel to the poor. And He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. To do what? To proclaim, to say, captives, you're free. Hallelujah. So words release healing. Your words can release healing in your body. I know many times when the Lord has me ministering to people that need healing, He will have me speak words over them. I remember Robin Becker, when she was diagnosed with cancer, she came up for prayer. I remember we prayed over her, and the Holy Spirit prompted me to say, the Lord says, I've got this. And He did, didn't He? And He did. And you've heard her testimony about how the Lord delivered her and how the Lord brought her through that process. The Lord, and she was able to rest in God's faithfulness, knowing that he had it. Amen? So words release healing. Now, so after this leper was healed, the scripture tells us here then in verse 15, it says, great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed. Everybody say, to hear and to be healed. Hallelujah. There's a connection there that I want you to see this morning. They came to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Now, so the leper is healed, and then the multitudes came, and they came on purpose. They came to hear and to be healed. Hallelujah. Healing is a result of hearing. Amen. Why? Because healing from God comes through faith, and faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Luke chapter 5, verse 17, just right on the, you know, following right after. Verse 16 talks about Jesus going into the wilderness and praying. Then we pick right up in verse 17. It says, now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And I notice this last phrase of verse 17. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, I want to go, I like Mark's account of this story as well, of this healing. So look with me at Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And this is Mark recording the same incident. When you put them both together, you get a full picture. You know, someone's talked about that the gospel writers were like, observers on a street corner, you know, where they're, you know, this is a bad analogy kind of, but where an accident has taken place. And if you're on the southwest corner of the intersection, then you saw one thing. If you're on the northeast corner of the intersection, you saw the accident from a totally different perspective. You both saw the same accident, but you're going to report different details, right? Okay, and so the gospel writers were like that. They report different details. There's no conflict or contradiction in what they share. They're just reporting different details because they're looking at it from different perspectives somewhat. So Mark records in Mark chapter 2, verse 1, and again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Now, Luke says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And Mark tells us why the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Because he preached the word to them. Hallelujah. The word brings the power. I said the word brings the power. The preaching of the word, the proclaiming of the word brings the power. Hallelujah. God confirms his word. Verse 3 says, then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And so here's this man. They're in a house. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law have gathered. Others have gathered there. And Jesus is preaching the word in this house. He's having a house meeting where he's preaching the word. The power of the Lord is present to heal them. Them who? Anyone that will tap into it. Amen. The power of the Lord was present to heal anyone that would tap into it that day. And so we find out the one individual that we know of gets healed is an individual that he was paralyzed and he was brought by his four friends, and they were late getting to the service. And the crowd, the house was already full, the crowd was already there, and they could not, it says they could not get there because of the crowd. But it says what they did is they climbed up on the top of the house. Now, they didn't have a shingle roof. They didn't pull off the shingles and then the decking and then all of that. It was a tile roof. It was where they could remove the tiles. It was a flat roof. So they got up on that roof, they removed the tiles, and they let the man down right into the middle of where Jesus was at and where Jesus was preaching the word. And so it says, when they had broken through. I like that. They couldn't get there because of the crowd. In other words, the crowd was keeping them from getting to the healer. Don't let the crowd keep you from your miracle. Don't let the crowd keep you from getting to your healing. Now, the crowd can be a lot of things. The crowd can be circumstances. The crowd can be wrong teaching. The crowd can be other people saying, oh, well, you don't really believe that God still does that today, do you? The crowd can be a lot of things. The crowd was keeping that man from his healing. The crowd was keeping those four men from getting their friend to Jesus. And so rather than saying, oh, well, it must not be God's will. Oh, well, you know, if it was God's will, then surely, you know, the crowd would have parted and we would have walked right into the middle of where Jesus was. Or Jesus would have stopped what he was doing, would have parted the crowd and came outside to where we were if it was God's will. So it must not be God's will. We're going to take you back home and dump you off your stretcher. Now, they didn't do that, did they? What'd they do? The Bible says when they had broken through. Hallelujah. When they had broken through. Do you know sometimes you have to break through? Sometimes you have to break through some things to receive from God. I'm not talking about earning your healing. I'm not talking about, that you have to jump through a bunch of hoops before God would count you worthy. I'm not talking about that. God wasn't withholding anything from them. But sometimes we have to break through these circumstances. Sometimes we have to break through this wrong teaching or this unbelief or this God wouldn't do it for me or I'm not worthy or whatever it may be. And we have to break through that. Amen? The good thing about these guys is they were persistent. Do you know you have to be persistent with the things of God? Amen? Now again, that's not earning it or working for it, but you do have to be persistent and not passive in a sense that, oh, well, you know, if Jesus wants me healed, I'm sure he'll do it in his own good time. No, we have to take our healing. Amen. The devil is trying to keep it from you. Amen. You have to take it. And so these men helped their friend. They broke through. Praise God. You have to be determined. You have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you have to say, I'm going to break through unbelief. I'm going to break through fear. I'm going to break through circumstances. I'm going to break through what my body's telling me. I believe that I'm healed and receive your healing. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's pick the story back up in Luke in verse 19. It says, and when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, notice that. When he saw their faith. Now, Mark records that as well, that it says that when Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. How, let me ask you this, how did Jesus see their faith? How did he see their faith? Jesus saw their faith by their action. Amen. Brother Norval Hayes says, God is a show me God. Amen. He wants to see your faith. Their faith was demonstrated by their action. They said, you know, we're not going to be denied. Their action was, and they didn't, I'm sure they didn't sit there trying to calculate, now what can we do to show Jesus our faith? They just wanted their friend to get well. They just wanted their friend to be healed. And they were willing to do whatever was necessary to get him to Jesus. They were pursuing Jesus. They wanted to get him in the presence of Jesus because they were convinced if they could make connection with Jesus, their friend would be healed. Amen. And that motivation, that desire in their heart produced action that caused them to do something so radical as tearing the roof off of a house. Praise God. And Jesus saw that, and when he saw their faith, notice what he says. When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, why did Jesus do that? Why did Jesus say, man, your sins are forgiven you? Well, I think there's two reasons here. Number one, he wanted to demonstrate something to the Pharisees there. But also, I believe this man, before this man could receive his healing, not only did he need to break through the crowd or the roof of that house, he needed to break through his own condemnation and his own guilt that was keeping him from receiving his healing. This man, before he could hear, rise and be healed, he had to hear, you're forgiven. Amen. You know, sometimes we need to hear that word before we can hear, rise and be healed. Sometimes unforgiveness of ourselves keeps us from receiving our healing. So Jesus declared to the man, your sins are forgiven. That's what he needed to hear. He needed to hear, you're forgiven. Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody may need to hear that today. God's not holding anything against you. You can be healed because you are forgiven. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you haven't repented, that's another story. You know, if a person is unwilling to repent, they need to be willing to repent before God. Amen. But oftentimes the devil torments people. They've repented of their sin. They feel sorry for missing God and the things they've done in the past. And the devil holds that over their head. Man, your sins are forgiven. You're forgiven. Now get ready to receive your healing. Praise the Lord. And so verse 27 or 22, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you or to say rise up and walk? And so he did it for the Pharisees' sake too. He says, you know, guys, you need to see that the healing, that healing of sickness is just as easy as forgiving of sin. And you need to know that I have the power to forgive sin because you're going to see it demonstrated by the healing of this man's body. You can't see the forgiveness of sin outwardly, can you? Jesus, I'm going to show it to you by healing the man, and you're going to know that then that I also have power to forgive sin. Praise God. But the other side of that is true, too. Sometimes we're able to take our forgiveness easier than our healing, right? You know, we learn through good teaching, we learn that when we ask God to forgive us, then what happens? He forgive, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we tell folks, as we should, you know, you don't need to wait until you feel forgiven to accept your forgiveness. If you ask God to forgive you, take it by faith that you're forgiven. And begin to act like you're forgiven. Don't go around groveling around thinking God's mad at you. If you've asked him to forgive you, he's forgiven you. Take it, receive it. Right? Don't wait till you feel any better. Same as with healing. Which is easier? Your sins are forgiven or rise up and walk. So the same with healing. Take your healing. If you need healing, receive it. Believe that Jesus is your healer. Claim your healing and receive it. Amen. Don't wait until you feel healed before you believe you're healed. Amen. 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 Believe it and receive it and you'll begin to feel different. Amen. Believe your forgiveness. Believe that you're forgiven. Receive it and go on and you'll begin to feel forgiven. Amen. Amen. We act on what God says. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Now, and we looked at this last week. Psalm 103 says he forgives all our sins and he heals all our diseases. The same Jesus that is a forgiver is a healer. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Look down at Luke chapter... Well, let's just finish this. Let's get this man up off his stretcher first. So verse 23 says, which is easier to say your sins are forgiven you or to say rise up and walk? Verse 24, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Amen. You know, here's another thing. Sometimes you hear people say, well, God put this sickness on me or God gave me this or I'm bearing this and I'm just going to glorify God through this. I'm going to glorify God with this. Everything, every time I read in the Bible where somebody got healed, that's when they glorified God. Amen. Every time Jesus showed up and people got healed, the Bible says they went away and the person that got healed glorified God and all the people that saw it glorified God. Amen. Amen. So healing brings him glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's go on to the sixth chapter now of Luke. In chapter 6 and verse 17, we see this. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to, what? Hear him and be healed of their diseases as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits and what? It was hit and miss. A few of them got it and a few didn't. No. They were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. praise God, they came to hear him and to be healed. They came to hear and to be healed. Jesus, and when he was in this house, he preached the word to them, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Hallelujah. Here in this case, they came to hear him. He was teaching and preaching the word of God, teaching and preaching the good news. And it says the people came to hear and to be healed, and they sought to touch him. Notice that. They sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Now go with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse number 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Verse 27. When she what? When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I should be made well. I wonder what she heard about Jesus. She must have heard what was happening that was recorded in Luke chapter 6. She must have heard that people were touching him and power was coming out from him and healing them all. Somebody that got healed that way must have come by her city or come by her town and either told her personally or told one of her friends or neighbors. And they went and told her, they went to her and they knew this woman that she had been suffering for 12 years and couldn't get any better. The leper was full of leprosy, advanced stage. This woman had been suffering for 12 years. Maybe what you've been dealing with physically, maybe you've been dealing with it a long time and you've almost given up hope. You've almost just decided, well, I'll just live with this as long as I can and I guess I'll just let it kill me. You don't have to do that. I said, you don't have to do that. Well, I won't die with it, but, you know, I can just kind of adjust my lifestyle. No, you don't have to do that. God wants you well. Amen. So evidently that someone had come to this woman and they told her excitedly, they told her about Jesus, told her what was happening, told her that all the people were touching him and power was coming out from him and healing them all. And she said, you know, if he did it for them, if they experience that, I can too. If I touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So she heard about that and then she started saying that. She started speaking that. Praise God. What she heard brought hope into her heart. She said, you know, I can be healed too. And what she heard also brought faith. Because here's what she said. If I touch his clothes, I shall be made well. That's faith. That's faith. If I touch his clothes, I shall. Not I might be. Not I'm going to try this. I shall. Amen. You've got to come to an I shall moment in your life concerning your healing. You've got to come to the point where you say, you know, I'm going to release my faith right here and I shall be made well. Where did she release her faith? What was her place? I believe Brother Oral Roberts, I don't know if he coined the phrase, but I know that he used it. Point of contact. What is my point of contact? Where am I going to, at what point do I release my faith? And make a decision for that's done. It's mine. I believe that I receive it. This woman, she said, if I touch his clothes, I shall be made well. It was settled with her. She knew that if she touched Jesus' clothes, that was it. She would be well. This condition she had had for 12 years would be gone. Amen. And she would be free. Amen. She believed that. She knew that. And so she came. The Bible says, when she heard about him, she came and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. So the first thing happened was she heard. And then she began to say, if I touch his clothes, I'll be made well. And so her confession motivated her to action. To act. She came. She didn't sit at home and singing Kumbaya. Yeah. Oh, if Jesus would only come by here. No, she said, I'm going to get to where he's at. I'm going to go to where he's at. And she did. She touched his clothes. Look at verse number 29. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Now she released her faith before she felt anything. She didn't feel anything until after she had acted in faith and touched his clothes. Amen? Amen. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" A lot of people were touching him, but one touched him with faith, and he knew, he sensed power flowing out of him when she touched him with faith. Praise God. Amen? Amen. And he looked around to see who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." So Jesus, yes, it was his power, but it was her faith that tapped into that power. Amen? Amen. The New Living Translation of Mark 5:34, "And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over.'" Do we have the New Living? Did I give you that? There we go. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." Hallelujah. Why did he tell her that? I mean, she knew she was healed. Why did Jesus, she would think, "Well, Jesus, you don't have to tell me. I know that I'm healed." No, why did he say that? Why did he declare that to her? Because, sometimes the devil, anybody ever had this happen? The devil would come to you and say, "Well, no, you're not really healed. Well, that just is a coincidence. You're not really healed. You just happened to get better." Jesus didn't do that. Or this is just temporary. Yeah, the symptoms have left temporarily, but you're not healed. No, Jesus declared to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Your suffering is over." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the Lord has healed you, lay hold of it and say, "I am free. I'm never going back."
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's done this. He's done this, and I'm free. Amen? Glory to God. One more individual we want to look at this morning. Go with me to Acts chapter 14. In Acts chapter 14, and we'll start reading in verse number 7, it says, "And they were preaching the gospel there." This is talking about Paul and Barnabas that was traveling with him. And they were going through a certain region. It says they were preaching the gospel there. I needed you to hear that so you can have the connection here. "And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked." So we've got a leper that's full of leprosy. We've got the paralyzed man. We've got the woman that's been sick for 12 years. Now we've got a man, he's been crippled from birth and he's never walked. If anybody would be convinced that it must not be God's will for me to be healed, it would be this guy. Crippled from birth, he's never walked. And so here he is. And he's sitting there. But verse 9 says this, "This man heard Paul speaking." This man did what? He heard. The woman with the issue of blood heard about Jesus. Jesus, in that place where the paralyzed man was healed, he was preaching the word to them. The people came together to hear him and to be healed. Praise God. "This man heard Paul speaking." What was Paul speaking? Yes, he was speaking the gospel. How do we know? Verse 7 says they were preaching the gospel there. That's why I wanted you to see verse 7. They were preaching the gospel there. This man is a cripple from birth. He's sitting there and he heard Paul speaking. Paul is speaking the gospel. Paul observing him intently. Paul was preaching and all of a sudden his attention keeps being drawn to this man while he's preaching. And all of a sudden he sees the light turned on in this guy. Sometimes you can see that when you're preaching. I know sometimes when I'm preaching and teaching, sometimes I can see the light turning on. It's great. Other times I look out there and I say, "The lights are on, but nobody's home." But sometimes you see, hey, the light is turned on. They're getting it. Hallelujah. They're getting revelation. So somehow the Holy Spirit showed him, Paul observing him intently, and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Now, this is an amazing thing. This man heard one message that Paul preached. What was he preaching? He was preaching the gospel, and the man who had been crippled from birth has faith to be healed. So some folks say, well, not the healing, that's kind of a side issue, but that's not really. We want to stick with the gospel around here. Well, if you want to stick with the gospel, then you better preach healing. Then healing better be a part of it if we want to preach the same gospel that Paul preached. Paul was preaching the gospel, and this man said, yes, he was telling about Jesus dying for our sins and about Jesus being the sacrifice for sin, but he also had to be included that Jesus, not only did he bear our sins, but with his stripes we were healed. Hallelujah. And that healing is not just a spiritual healing. That healing is for your physical body. Glory to God. That's what he had to be preaching. Amen. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. So the man hears the word of God. Hope comes to this man who would be just almost a hopeless situation, crippled from birth. But one message of the gospel, think of the power that's in this gospel. Think of the power that's in this word of God. Hallelujah. And so one message brings hope to this man, not only hope, but also faith. And the man knows in his heart that he can be healed. The man knows in his heart, hey, I don't have to stay crippled. But yet there's one thing missing. These other people, the woman with the issue of blood, when she heard and she began to say, if I touch his clothes, she went and touched his clothes. She released her faith by her action. Amen. Those four men showed their faith. They released their faith by their action, by letting their friend down into the midst of where Jesus was at that day. So what's this guy going to do? Somehow the connection hasn't been made. He didn't know to act his faith. I remember Brother Hagin sharing his testimony of when he was a teenager and he had gotten saved and he was paralyzed. He had an incurable blood disease, a deformed heart, paralyzed. Doctor said he couldn't live. He began to read the Bible and he found healing in there. And so he prayed to the Lord one time. He said, now, Lord, I believe. He said, Lord Jesus, with all due respect, if you were to come down here today and personally tell me, son, your trouble is you don't believe, Lord Jesus, I'd have to say you're a liar because I do believe. I know that I believe. And the Holy Spirit spoke up in his heart. Didn't rebuke him, but spoke up in his heart. And he said, you do believe, all right, as far as you know. But he had not learned yet to release his faith. So the Holy Spirit guided him. He said, you know, well, people are up at 10 o'clock in the morning. Oh, okay, I need to get up out of this bed then. And so he said he was paralyzed from the waist down. So he took his legs and he threw them off the side of the bed and they clunked on the floor like chunks of wood. And then he was able to reach over and grab the bedpost of his bed and pull himself up. He said when he started to do that, he said it's like somebody poured a bucket of warm honey over his head. And then he said he began to have feeling in his legs. He said like 1,000 needles were sticking in his legs. He said it felt so good to feel anything. And within a few minutes, he was standing up perfectly well. Praise God. Because he acted on his faith. He released his faith by action. So what's this man going to do? Paul sees that he has faith to be healed. Verse 10, Paul's going to help him. Verse 10, it says, Paul said with a loud voice, stand up, straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. I think before he could think about it, before he could reason himself out of it, man says, stand up, I'm going to stand up. And he leaped and walked and was healed. Amen? Glory to God. There's a connection here in each of these situations here. There's a common thread. Faith comes by hearing. Praise God. This man heard, the other people heard, and what they heard brought faith. Faith came into their heart, and that faith was released by their words, by their action. And in each of these situations, hope and faith came to these individuals because they heard a true report about Jesus. I'm giving you a true report about Jesus today. He is the healer. Hallelujah. His power has not passed away. We shared with you last Sunday, some of you might not have been here, but the Scripture says in Hebrews 13:8, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you couple that with Acts 10:38, it says Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He's still going about doing good and healing all who are oppressed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. So these folks heard the gospel, and what they heard caused them to believe that they could receive a miracle. They acted on what they believed, and they were healed. Praise the Lord. Now, These accounts in the Bible, they're not just there as nice stories. They're written down for you and for me. Amen. They're written down to give us examples. And I want you to find yourself. I hope you found yourself in one of these accounts that we've read. These are true accounts of what Jesus did, real people. Find yourself in here because God will do it for you. Amen. He will do it for you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. I'll leave you with this out of the Good News translation. Look at this. Does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you because you do what the law requires, or, listen to this, because you hear the gospel and believe it? Hallelujah. Well, we know the answer to that because of all these accounts. These folks heard the gospel. These folks heard the good news, and they believed it. Hallelujah. And Jesus worked miracles in their lives. Jesus healed them. Praise God. And He is the same today. He wants to heal you. I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment.